ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. It's Thursday. It's June. It's hot. We're going to have a great day here in the wonderful county that we live in. It's great to be here and great to have you listening today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and Merritt Assembly of God brings this radio broadcast to you, the Refresh radio broadcast, right here on WMIE. We are thankful that you have tuned in today. We want to say thank you to a couple of folks. First of all, we'd like to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any concrete work, you know, the thing about concrete is when it's hot outside, that means it sets up quicker too. So you, if you are thinking about doing some concrete work, especially this time of the year, bring in the professionals at Jits Concrete. They can help get you up and running and get your work done for you. You know, you want to, they start early of a morning. That way they hopefully will beat any rain storms that come along. So give them a call, 536-5804. And also, Teresi Auto Repair and Sales over on Clear Lake Road, just south of Dixon, a couple of blocks. They've been blessings to my wife and I and our daughters in repairing our vehicles and helping us purchase a vehicle. And so if you need any work done, listen, they've done great work for me. I know that they will do the same for you. They'll take good care of you. Here's the number that I have for you, 636-4910. Ask for Joe or Michael and tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. Great folks over there, and they will get your car back up and running just like they have ours. So we're coming up on a wonderful weekend this weekend, and pray that you'll, if you don't have a church home, that you will consider attending one of our services Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30. We have three different classes. We have a smaller children's class. We have a teen class. We also have an adult class. And should the need arise, we have a nursery class that is available. And so that's Sunday morning at 9:30. Worship service starts at 10:30. Our children start off in the main worship service with us. We have a song that we sing that they know. We pray over our kids. We bless them. We send them out and send them over to their classes. And that's a great opportunity for us. A couple of weeks ago, we were doing one of those songs, and all of a sudden, my daughter started doing the motions, because we adults, we might forget what it was like when we were in children's church a long, long time ago, but there are motions. I still remember deep and wide, deep and wide. Well, now the motions are a little more animated, and a person leaned over and said, "What is this, aerobic worship?" And I said, all I know is I couldn't keep my breath. I would be out of breath if I was trying to do that. And so then the kids go out. We continue our praise and worship. They have their time in the Word. We have our time in the Word. Sunday night at 6:30, we are back. We would love to have you come and visit with us in one of our services, and hopefully you will feel like we are, and that is part of your spiritual family. It was a week ago, we had our largest Thursday morning prayer time that we have had. We had eight people that gathered at 6 a.m. in the morning to pray, and one of the men at the conclusion of the prayer time, he said, "Pastor, this church is like a spiritual hospital." And I said, "You know, that's exactly the way that we refer to it. And if you are feeling isolated or hurting or wounded, we know the healer. And I can't heal you, but I can pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise you up." And so whether it's physical or emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. We want to apply the healing balm of Gilead. We want to apply the faith that God has given to us and see you raised up in health and restored to value. That's what our mission statement is, restoring value spiritually and relationally. And that means in every aspect of your life. So come be a part of one of our services and let's see what God does. We are in Isaiah, the 19th chapter. We have been talking about how the word began as a word against Egypt. And, you know, sometimes when you get off to a rough start, you think it's always going to be that way. And I've encouraged you to remember that how this chapter ends. I haven't read that to you, but if you've been seeing the path that we've been going on, you know we're going to get there. And so I want you to know that God has a glorious destiny, a glorious purpose for Egypt. I was thinking about this as I was reviewing this passage of Scripture. If there was a people on the planet that should pay attention when the prophet of Judah says, "Thus saith the Lord," it should be the Egyptians, because they remembered when Moses said that. The people of Jericho, they knew what God had said and what God had done. And so when the message comes and it pertains to Egypt, it should have been a wake-up call. It should have caused them to be on high alert. And so whether or not they were, that is up to them. And you and I, when we hear "Thus saith the Lord," we need to evaluate it in accordance to with God's word. We need to check and see if there's veracity to it. And if it's a word from God, we need to act upon it. If it's not a word from God, because sometimes people speak out of their own spirit, not the Holy Spirit, and I can show you that in the Word of God, then at that point in time, we just move on with life. Let me begin reading today in Isaiah chapter 19, verse number 16. It says, "In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the City of Destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border, and it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow for the Lord and perform it, and the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them." Now we are starting to see what God has in mind. We're going to stop the reading there because that's probably as far as we're going to get today. Now we start to see that God is not looking to destroy Egypt. He is looking to reposition Egypt. He is looking to reestablish the lordship of God over the land of Egypt. He is looking to be in relationship with them and cause them to be healthy and restored. He wants them to know him. You see, God has a great desire for us to know him. That's why he acts, that's why he does everything he does, is so that the world will know that he is God. See, the world's under this tremendous deception that the devil is more powerful than God. He's not. God is omnipotent and he's omniscient. He's all-loving and he cares about you. And so it says that as God's hand moves over the land of Egypt, that the people of Egypt will literally be terrified if someone mentions the name of the land of Judah because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts. I do need to prepare you that when you start listening to God's word, that people of this world are not going to understand. You see, the word of God is spiritual and it is spiritually discerned. And so if people are walking around spiritually dead, their spirit is not going to comprehend the word of God until that gift of faith that God has given to them is activated and they begin to see God for who he really is. Isn't it interesting that Saul on the road to Damascus, that when he was healed, it was like scales fell off of his eyes. He was blinded and his eyesight was restored. And all of a sudden he saw things in a completely different perspective than he did prior to that. And so Judah was a land of distinction. Judah means the land of praise. Leah gave Judah his name. This time I will praise the Lord. And so they were known for their covenant with God. And so when Adam was in the garden and he sinned, isn't it interesting that when God came calling, he all of a sudden experienced fear of God for the first time? Not fear for God or feared him because he was God, but he was afraid and he hid himself because of his sin. Folks, our society cannot afford for us to just mingle in and mix in and fit in with the rest of society in such a way that there is no distinction, there's no signpost, there's no landmark that says, "Thus saith the Lord, this is the way, walk this way. Walk this way." And so, but here's what happens. Verse 17 says that Egypt is afraid because of the counsel of the Lord. But in verse number 18, it begins to describe this. It says, "In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts." So in the midst, you know, we've seen that phrase three times. We're getting ready to deal with it a fourth time. In the midst of Egypt, in the midst of the heart fainting for fear, in the midst of the spirit failing because of counsel, in the midst of perversity in the spiritual realm, all of a sudden God begins to move in their midst because of his covenant people. The covenant people begin to have influence, not within their borders, but outside of their borders. My wife has a certain phrase that is used, and she just really not a big fan of it, and that is comfort zone. She doesn't like it when we talk about being inside our comfort zone. And by the way, I just thank God for my wife. She is a representative. She is a life giver wherever she goes, whether it's home or work or church, wherever it is, she's there to bring life to the situation. And my kids do as well. In fact, a week ago on Wednesday night, we came home from church and my daughter, she just began laughing. I guess she had been laughing all the way home because of something that she had done that night. She said, "I tickled myself." She was ministering to the kids, and she said, "That is so not like me to do that," and just had a great time bringing life to a bunch of young people. And so we just had a great laugh. I tell you, if you ever are around my wife when something funny is spoken and she begins to laugh, it could go on. It is entertainment. It's free too. It's awesome. And if laughter does good like a medicine, when she gets like that, she's got to be one of the healthiest women in all of Brevard County. I said all that just to talk about this. So many times we are looking to to our sphere of influence. But God is looking for a people that he can utilize beyond their borders and beyond their boundaries, who will influence people who aren't like them, who don't speak the same language natively, but because God is moving his hand in their midst, because he is purging the perversity out of their spirit, and he's restoring them to spiritual truth and spiritual purity, all of a sudden they begin to understand the language of the covenant people of God. So thank God for our churches. Let's pray that godly influence begins to go beyond the four walls of our church, beyond the doors of our church, beyond our families, and actually begin to touch people who aren't just like us. People have asked, what type of people do your does your church focus on ministering to? And I guess probably the best answer to that are those that are breathing. You see, at Merit Assembly of God, we don't care what age you are. We don't care what color you are. We don't care what background you came from. You know, the Word of God says, such were some of you. I promise you this, that I will preach the Word of God. I will preach the truth in love. And that means that I deal with things, and sometimes they're politically sensitive things or culturally sensitive things, but it's the Word of God. If you think it's my opinion, reject it. But if it's what the Word of God says, then please give it consideration. I don't want you believing anything because I said it. I want you believing it because the Word of God says it. And so the covenant people begin to influence Egypt. And it says it's not going to be an isolated thing. It's going to be able to touch five cities. Now, I don't believe that this is the same thing as just five little villages. If you were to pick some large cities here in the peninsula of Florida, you could see it would be influencing the entire region. It's not an isolated incident. And they will begin to not only speak the language of Canaan, the language of the covenant people of God, they will begin to swear by the Lord of hosts. All of a sudden, he's going to be the one that motivates their words and their actions. It matters what you do, and it matters why you do it. It matters when you do it. It matters how you do it. And we need to be doing the things that God wants us to do, how he wants us to do them, when he wants us to do them. And so I pray that today you will not be one of the majority of Christians who never lead another person to Jesus Christ. That is one of the saddest statistics in all of Christianity. Several years ago, there was a statistic that said if your church was over 7 years old, it takes 83 people ministering on a regular basis before they lead one person to Jesus Christ. If that was the case, then we would only be leading about one person every other year to Jesus. And folks, I can tell you that's a lot of work for very little harvest. You know what happens is that they said new churches, because they have nothing, it only takes about two people to lead a person to Jesus every year. And so that's why you see a lot of times that newer churches end up being churches that grow faster, but it's not about the age of the church. It is about the mindset of the people who are sitting in the church. If we have lost our passion, if we've lost our vision for reaching the lost, it doesn't matter if the church has been there for 1,000 years. If we woke up today and said, you know what? God can use me to touch somebody and share spiritual truth with them, then we will be out there winning the lost for Christ. God is looking for people of wisdom. He who wins souls is wise. And it says here, one will be called the city of destruction. Now, there's a note here at the bottom of my Bible. It says in the Septuagint, that reads Asedek, and it literally means righteousness. One will be called, and I like this, so I'm going to use this one. One will be called the city of righteousness. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were able to touch a people who aren't like us, who live beyond our sphere of influence, they live in a different region, and God raised up an entire town, an entire city, and the whole city was known as righteousness. I read a book, and it was about a missionary, and I tell you, one of these days I'm going to get to go on a missions trip where I get to preach, and I'm going to come back and share testimonies of the large number of people who came to faith in Christ. I'm really looking forward to that whenever that day comes. But this missionary, he went to this island, and he stayed there for 26 years or 24 years. And upon his death, they posted a sign that said, when he arrived, there were no Christians. And after 2.5 decades, when he died, there were no heathen. That's a person who influenced a culture. And Jonathan Livingston, he touched a continent. And those are not supposed to be outliers. They're not supposed to be fringe experiences. They are supposed to be the norm. Let's not be proclaiming righteousness and living unrighteousness. Let's allow our message and our lifestyle to line up. Listen to verse number 19. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And so, get this land that has a history of oppressing God's people, a land that actually later on would be the Pharaoh would be the one who inflicted a fatal blow on Josiah, one of the righteous kings of Judah and a descendant of Hezekiah, that God would say, you know, I'm going to do a work when my hand begins to move, and you change the way you speak, and you change the what motivates you to act, and what you declare is going to be, it's because thus saith the Lord, and it's going to be, communities are going to be known by righteousness instead of sin. He said, what you're going to find in the middle of that, at the very core of its existence, is you're going to find an altar to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to prioritize your altar time. Prioritize your time of prayer. Don't let it be the last thing you do before you go to bed. Here's what happens when you pray after a long, hard, difficult day of trying to function without prayer. Heavenly Father, You fall asleep almost immediately. And so I encourage you, make prayer a part of your day. Make it early so that you can be able to function with the wisdom of God and the anointing of God. He said, what you're going to find is that Egypt, as they've become transformed, an altar, a place of sacrifice, has become very foundational to its society. It's become the core. Everything revolves around the altar. And folks, I want you to know that in 2016, everything still revolves around the place of sacrifice. It revolves around the cross where Jesus gave his life. We cannot expect God to move in a powerful way when we have relished him or relinquished him to the broom closet, and we only bring him out during tragic events. We need the altar and the place of sacrifice to be core to our existence. And I just want to remind you what it says that in Romans chapter 12, I'm turning over there just real quick. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. God wants us to have a vibrant altar encounter. Not only was there an altar, but there was a pillar to the Lord, and it was at its border. And what that pillar did was when you crossed into that territory, when you crossed over into the land of Egypt, you would see a pillar, and people would say, what is that? That's to let you know that you have just entered into God's territory. Isn't that amazing? You know, I don't want to have to just put that up by a sign. You know, I don't want to have to put up a God's property sign. I want to be able to put on the joy of the Lord. I want a smile on my face. I want the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I want that to be the sign. And whenever somebody encounters us, that they know that they have just encountered someone who belongs to God. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. So God is setting them up. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, but God is setting them up, not for failure. He's setting them up for a testimony. At our vintage service a week ago, I said, would it be okay if I praised God? I've got a daughter. She graduated from college, and she hasn't found that place of employment yet. And I said, I'm going to start praising God now for the job that he is going to provide for her. And she is a driven young lady, a very organized young lady, very skilled at what she does. And I know God's going to open the right door for her. So let's pray that God will revive our altar time, that our sphere of influence will touch people who aren't just like us, and that God will set us up for a testimony. Father, we come to you right now in the name of the Lord, and I pray, God, that your hand would move in our nation once again. And Father, I pray for our churches, that our influence would reach beyond the four walls of our church, and we would impact every arena of society. God, I pray that we would begin to speak the language of the covenant people of God. Lord, that we would begin to see our prayer time revived, and that everybody who encounters us would know that God is on the throne and we belong to you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.